Hey, what's up, Pelicans fans? Welcome to The Bird Rights. My name is Preston Ellis, and I am the host for the new home to all things Pelicans on Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Welcome to the new one-stop shop for everything you Boogie and Brow fanatics need. Now, if you like what you're hearing, follow us on Twitter at The Bird Rights. Read our source material at TheBirdRights.com, and most importantly, throw yourself over to iTunes and download every available podcast by searching The Bird Rights NBA Podcast. What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of The Bird Calls. This is the podcast mothership to TheBirdRights.com. Now, today we are previewing the Lakers matchup with our old friend Clayton Fawcett of Under the Boss Pod. What's up, Clayton?
I'm doing good, Preston. How about you?
I'm good, man. Did I get your last name right?
Yeah, Fawcett. I think you said it right.
Fawcett, good. I've been having trouble with that lately, so I just wanted to double check and make sure I'm not making myself look silly over here. And he is joined by his buddy TJ of Lakers Pulse. Thanks for joining us, TJ.
Yeah, how's it going? Thanks. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Good. A fellow Central Floridian. This guy lives in Tampa, very close to me. So we've already been going back and forth about going to see our beloved Orlando Magic play at some point today. I hope that wasn't a secret for all of your readers that you live over on the wrong side of the coast.
Yeah, staying up late until 1:30 a.m., you know, watching Laker games. It's I put it out there on Twitter a little bit, too.
Good for you, man. I can't make it past 10 o'clock. I have some of the other guys, shout outs to Travis and Trevor, do all of our pod recaps, and I just handle the previews, because once you get to be my age, it gets harder and harder to make it past 10 p.m. Let's get going, you guys. As always, you can follow Clayton at CapSpaceClay, and you can find TJ at AES Taylor. Is that right, TJ?
Correct, yep.
All right, let's do this.
My bad. Mine is...
Oh, Lakers 1949. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Cap Space Clay is the title, but it's actually at Lakers 1949. And I think I'm doing that off memory. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about Clay. Let's go ahead and start with you, since I've already butchered your Twitter handle. talk a bit about the state of the Lakers. You guys own Summer League with Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, all the hype. You gave up D'Angelo Russell for cap relief from the Timothy Mozgov contract and for Brooke Lopez. You acquired shooting guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on a one-year $18 million deal. And Vegas had you guys improving to the tune of 34 wins, which might not sound like a lot to our listeners, but in a very crowded Western Conference, it is, in fact, a lot. Before getting into last night's contest against Pat Beverly and the Clips, let's start with Clayton again. What is the general mood in Lakerland?
I guess that would really depend on what type of Laker fan you're asking. You know, you get the general Laker fan who see that it's Magic Johnson in the front office paired with, you know, Kobe Bryant's former agent. So they're all like, yeah, gotta trust Laker history. And then you get to the Laker fans that are a little bit more informed and a little bit more skeptical. Those fans, especially after some of the turn of events through the off season and beginning of the preseason and last night, it's those fans aren't as they're quite a bit skeptical. They're pretty skeptical along with me. But if you ask a general Laker fan, it's all Lonzo and Kyle Kuzma's, you know, the basketball god, and Magic Johnson's going to take us back to title, you know, back to greatness.
Nice. Okay, TJ, let's take it over to you. I just want to expand a bit on what he was saying about Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. There was a lot of talk in the offseason about you guys potentially like cashing in your chips at the end of the season and going after somebody like a Russell Westbrook. Obviously, he just signed a five-year deal. But like him, like a Paul George, like a LeBron James, there's been all this talk. Does it seem to you like the Lakers are in fact like gearing their entire plan around the offseason of 2018 and just bringing some big names to town? Do you think that all these young players are basically just trying to perform so that you can eventually trade them for cap relief and for superstars?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the idea when they traded D'Angelo and when they got Brooke Lopez. He's got 1 year left, and Caldwell Pope has 1 year left. So I think that's the plan. But I mean, they can't keep playing like they did last night. You know, they can't have LeBron and Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins sitting there saying, oh, yeah, this is where I want to play for the next 4 years. So they're definitely going to have to prove something this year, because no superstars are going to want to come here the way they're playing and the way the roster is set up right now. But with the moves that they made this summer, that seems to be the indication, you know, trading D'Angelo and, again, signing these one-year guys, that seems to be the indication for the future.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit more. I'll start with TJ about LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and all the hysteria that seems to be taking over the West Coast, bringing him into town. And I even saw comments this morning that he was talking to Stephen A. Smith, and LaVar seemed to be convinced that Lonzo Ball played well last night with 3 points and 9 rebounds, I believe he had. And before we like get into the X's and O's of the Clippers matchup, just talk about in general, TJ, what's it like having Lonzo Ball in Los Angeles?
He's really popular. I mean, he pretty much sold out Summer League himself. The Ball family is kind of like the hottest topic on social media and in the sports world. So it's definitely something we haven't seen almost ever, out of like a basketball family. But you know, I'm glad we have Lonzo. You know, I still have faith in him. Like I gave D'Angelo a couple of years to, and now he's finally about to break out. But you know, it's way different. But you know, I'm just hoping it's the right move for the future.
And what about you? Get on in there, Clayton. Is he the guy that you wanted? Were you hoping that Fultz was going to fall and that I guess Boston or Philadelphia in this instance was going to take Lonzo so Markelle Fultz could fall to Los Angeles?
Oh man, I'm probably still one of the biggest skeptics of Lonzo. Not that I'm not supporting him, you know, he's on the Lakers. I'm going to support him. I don't want to be one of those fans that has a player and then just trashes him. But yeah, when we got number two, I was praying that when Boston had the pick that they would do something stupid and let Fultz fall. I know he's had a rough go at it so far, especially with those shooting mechanics, but Fultz was definitely my guy. Lonzo, though, I do enjoy watching him. I still have all my questions about him going into the NBA, but you know, he puts people's butt in the seats, and if people really do want to play with him, then that's great. But until they actually get someone, I don't know how much faith I actually have in that belief, you know.
Okay, let's go ahead and get on into the game. Last night, we're recording this on Thursday night? No, it's a Friday night. So on Thursday, the matchup between Los Angeles and the Clippers, the battles of Staples Center, I guess. Lonzo was held to 3 points and 9 rebounds, as we discussed. Brooke led the Lakers with 20-6, and Brandon Ingram put up a pretty dreadful 3 of 15. Let's start with TJ. Talk about the Lakers' performance, and what was the Lakers fans' initial reaction to it?
Well, the initial reaction was the offense is terrible at the moment. They continue to not run real plays, and the spacing is bad. The starting lineup was atrocious. I saw Ding and Nance starting, and you know, you look for spacing in a fast-paced offense with Lonzo Ball, and you then throw in Brandon Ingram at the shooting guard, which he's not, and Luol Deng as the small forward, which he hasn't been in years. And, you know, I just think it wasn't the best spacing. The initial reaction was like, what is Luke Walton doing with the lineup, and what kind of plays are they're not running real plays. So the initial reaction was like, this needs to change.
Again, you guys are listening to the Nothing But Net Network on Dash Radio. We are talking to Clayton Fawcett at Lakers 1949 and TJ at AES Taylor of Lakers Pulse. Let's throw this over to Clayton. We're talking about Luke Walton now. He was the most coveted young coach in the NBA after coaching the Warriors to a remarkable record. I think he was the engineer of their record-setting win streak of like 33 games or so. I don't remember the specifics. But for a large portion of Steve Kerr's absence due to his back, he was the master and commander of the Warriors, and they did really well. That was the season they won 73 games. What has his performance been like so far in Los Angeles? And you can go ahead and tie in the Clippers game in there as well.
You know, when we fired Byron Scott and we brought in Luke, I was probably the happiest guy on Lakers Twitter. but ever since that hiring, it's been a lot of really confusing decisions he's made. Whether it be lineups, it always seems like it has to be two separate lineups and there's like no intermixing of the two, which is just odd at times. As TJ was saying, no plays are being run. It's just kind of, we'll go on out there. And last year, one of my biggest complaints was that there was no weak side movement. And this year, there's a little bit more, but it all just kind of evolved into ISO ball and just last second shot chucks and just a lot of hot garbage. According to beat reporters now, the starting lineup is going to be different, but the idea that lineup last night was going to work anyways was, I don't know what he was thinking, because Lou, as TJ said, Luol Deng is a four, Nance is a four who's anemic on offense, and then Brandon Ingram is a 3-4 as well. So you were essentially starting three power forwards. It didn't make a lot of sense. And then something that I've always had issue is that their Lakers, you know, they have one of the highest, what's the word I'm looking for? They bring in the most revenue. There you go. Some of the most revenue. And they do not spend it on the coaching staff. They may have paid a ton for Luke, but all he's got now is just apparently Arizona buddies. So the thing for me is he should have been trying to hire some type of guru, you know, offensive guru, defensive guru, a guy like Ron Adams from Golden State. Are you going to pull him away from there? Probably not, but like that's a guy that you should be targeting. And it's just, I still have a lot of faith in Luke. I do think that he's going to turn out to be a really good coach, but it's been a lot bumpier than I originally expected.
Okay, TJ, let's shift over to you. Talk about some of your young guys that some of our listeners might not know, like Tyler Ennis or a Kyle Kuzma or Larry Nance, and also Brandon Ingram. Before you start in on these young guys and what you're expecting of them this season, is it true that Brandon Ingram grew 2 inches this summer?
You know, that was announced, that was rumored, but right in the beginning of training camp, he said no, he didn't. So there's mixed rumors, but he said himself that no, he didn't. But you know, starting with Brandon Ingram, he averaged 9 points last year and shot terrible. So and he even looked good in the one summer league game. He only played one summer league game, and they shut him down just for precautionary injury reasons. But he was looking good in summer league and in preseason, and last night, I mean, he's looked pretty bad so far. He's shooting all these contested mid-range shots, but you know, what we're looking at this year is just for him to improve shooting defensively. Going over to the other forwards, Larry Nance, he's always given high energy, and I've never liked him as a starter, but if they could you know, start maybe Caruso or Josh Hart at the shooting guard and space the floor out a little bit, I think he could be a serviceable starting power forward just because of all that energy he brings. Randall is on his contract year this year, so he's a restricted free agent next summer, looking to get paid. So I know he wasn't happy that he didn't start last night. We do have Kyle Kuzma drafted, traded over with Brooke Lopez, the draft pick. We selected him 27th overall. He lit up summer league in preseason, and he played 18 minutes last night. So again, we don't really know exactly what Luke Walton is doing. Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball looked great together in summer league and preseason, and I think I read something they played 4 minutes together last night. So again, that's pretty much the bunch of the young guys that we have.
Expand on that for us, Clayton. You guys have both mentioned that there have been some jagged rotations in there. I even saw a quote that I think TJ posted on Lakers Pulse Twitter account earlier today that Luke Walton was planning on changing the lineup a little bit and said he wanted more natural energy. Talk about some of the rotations you saw on Wednesday and talk about how you think those might change going into this weekend.
Honestly, it's going to be all up in the air for right now. You got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out from a suspension. He had a DUI, I believe, back in March. May have been May. I can't remember exactly. He'll be coming back, I believe, the game against the Pelicans. So that'll be different. You got Josh Hart active tonight, but, you know, with rotations and everything, we have no idea how much exactly he's going to play. With Luke wanting to bring in more natural energy, I would love to see Randall in there, especially after how he does not take well to the benching, which as a guy who he showed out in preseason. If Kuzma wasn't our best player during preseason, it was Randall, and him coming off the bench did not make any sense. So I want to see more, as he said, more energy out there. It looked like guys were just giving up midway through like the second. It was an embarrassing effort, and including Randall. So if he could come in and provide that spark, you know, that he usually is good for, then that'd be great. Guys that I do want to see, I want to see Hart. He looked good in preseason when he was healthy. He's had ankle issues and apparently an Achilles. His Achilles was diagnosed with bursitis last week or earlier this week. So that's a bit of a concern. But if he's active tonight, I'd love to see him play some too. Guys that I don't want to see, I don't want to see Dang in the rotation very much, even though, you know, because of his contract, he's going to get some run time. I don't want to see that monster lineup again that we saw last night, though. I want to see spacing. I want to see, you know, just running and gunning. You can't completely be a run and gun offense, but you need to have more fluidity out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Let me ask you this. You guys are super down on Luol Deng, and for good reason. He's signed to an exorbitant contract, and you just, you know, gave away the farm to get rid of Timothy Mozgov's contract. The Pelicans are in a bit of a similar situation with Jrue Holiday. One day in, we're already panicking as he scored 4 points, got 4 assists and 5 rebounds in, like, I think 37 minutes against the Memphis Grizzlies. So we're all panicking. Any chance you want to give us Luol Deng in a first-round pick for Jrue Holiday?
how much did Holiday sign for? Was it 120 plus?
This is where it gets tricky. He's signed to a 5-year, $125 million deal, but the incentives bring him up to 150. And even though he's only likely to get probably 6 of that 25 in incentives, the fact that those incentives exist at all means that they count against the salary cap, and can't use that extra, you know, I don't know what it is, $3 to $5 million every single season. So that space just doesn't exist anymore. It's in the black hole that is his potential contract. So it's really been crippling for us this season, and I'm just complaining, and you guys aren't here for that. Let's go.
Ahead. It's cool. We get it, man. On both of our podcasts, we just complain about Dang all the time. To answer the question, while I probably would possibly consider it, because I do think Jrue is better than that performance, especially on defense, I that is not the plan for the Lakers. As TJ was saying, they want to clear cap. How they're going to clear Dang, I have absolutely no idea. I keep saying that they're probably going to have to use a stretch provision on him, but that's a lot of money over, because it's you're the amount of years times 2 plus 1. So it'd be 2 years left times 2 and then an additional 1. So 5 years, you'd be spreading out. I think it would be over $7 million a year and just dead money. And wow. I have no idea how they're going to get rid of it. So then they can clear those 2 max slots. I'm just praying that they don't trade Brandon Ingram. I think Lonzo is completely untouchable. But after Magic's comments of Ingram being untouchable, that is a guy that I'm still really high on. I don't want to move him, even if it means getting rid of Dang, because I think that he, even though he has not shown well, we all knew he was a project coming into it. I think he could be really good.
TJ, let me just ask you something off the cuff. Obviously, you guys have to be backing Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, as Clayton just said. But if there was a third guy that you're hoping is with the Los Angeles Lakers going forward, who is that guy? Is it Kyle Kuzma?
Because of where he is in his contract situation, I would probably say yes. I'm not really sold on giving Julius Randle $100 million next year.
Yeah, I agree.
So I would probably say Kuzma. And we haven't even seen that much of him. We've seen summer league and preseason, but yeah, I would probably say Kuzma. Out of all the young guys we have, yeah.
Just asking for my own selfish reasons. I kind of just want to know who the most popular third guy is in Los Angeles right now. Let's get on to our Pelicans. TJ, I'm going to start with you. We peddled out a starting lineup, a very intimidating starting lineup, I'll have you know, of Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, Dante Cunningham, and then Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. What starting lineup do you think Luke Walton will push out? And what do you expect the matchups to be?
Well, Lonzo Ball, I think we're going to stick tonight. Are you talking about tonight or on Sunday?
I'm talking about on Sunday. Tonight, this is recorded on a Friday. The Pelicans are actually having their home opener against Golden State, and then we're going to Los Angeles on Sunday.
Okay, so it was just announced that Lou Alding is inactive tonight, so maybe he will be inactive on Sunday as well.
That's incredible.
Starter to inactive, that's crazy. I would probably say Lonzo Ball, Sunday, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will be back, with Ingram and Brook Lopez at the five. And I'd hope it's Randle, but if it's Nance tonight, it might be Nance on Sunday as well.
And how do you think Julius Randle, and this is, you know, you guys know him better than I do, how do you think he matches up against Anthony Davis, who he'd probably be seeing for the bulk of the first quarter at least?
The Lakers were, if not the worst, one of the worst interior defense teams last year, and I think it's going to be the same this year. So I think whoever they play, they give up 25 rebounds to DeAndre Jordan last night, and Blake Griffin had, I think, like 27 and 13 or something. So I think they're going to get bullied by anyone, especially two of the top five big men in the league.
These are all very good things I'm hearing. Clayton, if the Lakers were to win this matchup, how would they do it?
that would probably mean that Brook Lopez has turned into a sniper from three. He took a ton of threes last night, and he made, I think, one of them. I'd have to look it up again, but it would have to be him, and then Ingram going off for a game, and then Lonzo looking healthy. I would expect like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to outplay Etuan Moore. I do like Etuan, but I think KCP is just a better player. It really would come down to the perimeter just catching on fire. You know, Lonzo putting up 15 points, Ingram putting up 15 plus, same with Caldwell Pope, and just pray that DeMarcus and AD don't butcher everyone inside.
Again, we are talking to Clayton Fawcett of Under the Bus Pod and TJ of Lakers Pulse on the Bird Rights here on Nothing But Net Network on Dash Radio. Talk about your bench units, TJ. Who's going to hope to take advantage of us? I know that Jordan Clarkson played pretty well on opening night, and he's probably in the third year of a $50 million contract, something like that. What are you expecting from your bench unit? And tell us about some of those guys that we're going to see early in the second quarter.
Early in the first quarter, they usually have Clarkson coming around the after like 7 or 8 minutes or so. So yeah, Clarkson is going to lead that. Kuzma coming off the bench right now with Julius Randle at the five. We also have Andrew Bogut, new signing this year. Last night, Zubats and Thomas Bryant were inactive, so Bogut was the only other center outside of Brook Lopez. And then again, we'll have Josh Hart back. So But yeah, Jordan Clarkson, Kyle Kuzma, and Julius Randle are really going to lead the bench unit if it's the same or similar lineup as it was last night.
And Clayton, our bench unit is struggling. We're down to 9 healthy bodies. Four of our big rotation players underwent a pretty serious surgery within the last 2 months. And I'm going to try to do it offhand. Solomon Hill, Rajon Rondo, Frank Jackson. And I'm losing the same one. My boss is going to be so mad. But at any rate, we're down to 9 healthy bodies. Talk a bit about how your bench unit can take advantage of the likes of Cheick Diallo, Darius Miller, Ian Clark, and Tony Allen.
Well, I think Allen will be put on to Jordan Clarkson. And even though Allen is getting up there in age, obviously, he's still a good defender. So I think Jordan Clarkson will have a bit of a tough time with him. Really, where we can beat you up is on the bench, because of just how much Luke uses the bench anyways. He likes to use the bench a lot. I would expect them to have a lot of big guys active for that game, since they're probably going to want to try and beat up Anthony Davis and DeMarcus. So you would hope that Ivica Zubac would be taking advantage of like Alexis Ajinka and Cheick Diallo. But I don't know how Diallo would do covering like Randle or Kuzma, especially on the break. And while several Laker Twitter people really like Ian Clark and say that his defense is really good, I think that that's another area that our bench could take advantage of if Clarkson could run a pick and roll and get Ian Clark onto him instead of Allen. I think that would be something he could take advantage of.
Continue this conversation for us, TJ. Before you go on, I just want to let you guys know that Alexis Ajinka is actually out with a right knee. He didn't play on Wednesday. And Cheick Diallo, although he's probably our primary backup four and backup five at this point in time, just based on his size, he only played 1 minute and it was in garbage time. Most of our four time came from Darius Miller in super small ball lineups, and Dante Cunningham played a lot of four. And one of DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis was always on the floor, though it's important to note that DeMarcus Cousins can get into foul trouble from time to time. And those are opportunities when Cheick can come in. TJ, continue talking about how your bench unit can possibly take advantage of us and go on a run.
You know, again, I think they play well together, especially it seems like Nance and Clarkson always bringing a lot of energy. Again, like I said earlier, if Kuzma continues to come off the bench, he could be one of the best players on the floor at times, especially, you know, going against your bench and who we have on our second unit. I would just say the energy, not necessarily the defense at all. Because Jordan Clarkson can't defend Smush Parker. So I would probably say just the high energy and Clarkson, you know, chucking up three-pointers. And I just think it's the pace that will help the Lakers second unit. We'll have the advantage on, you know, the pace for the bench unit.
TJ, this game is 9:30 on Sunday night. You know, it's technically a school night since Monday morning's right around the corner. Are you going to stay up and watch this whole game live?
Yeah. I'll watch, especially if it's a 9:30 game. Yeah, I'll definitely stay up for most games. Yeah.
All right, Clayton, let's get your prediction. What unfolds Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern, and what is the box score going to say?
That DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis just ran over the Lakers. I'd expect something like 105 to like 92. That I'm pretty down on the Lakers already. Just, you know, if they play, you know, tonight is Friday night and they're about to play Phoenix, if they show more energy, then that could possibly be something that I would regret saying. But if they come out and play like they just did, then it's those two are just gonna destroy the Lakers.
Before I go over to TJ, Clayton, answer this for me. You guys don't seem to think that the Lakers are going to win 25 games this year. Do you think Luke Walton makes it to the 2018-19 season?
Oh, I think he gets to coach all 5 years of that contract, unless something happens with the front office, or if you see something like Jeannie Buss wanting to sell the team. He's kind of branded as like the golden boy for good reason. I still do think he's a good coach, regardless of the faults right now. But yeah, I can't see, unless they were to pull, you know, like win less than 12 games, which I can't honestly see that. You know, I'm down on them, and I said that they would probably win anywhere from 26 to 32 games this year. But anything really underneath like 24, I think would actually surprise me a lot. He's going to be back. I just, like I said, there's no doubt in my mind he'll be back.
All right, TJ, continue this conversation for us. What does the box score say at around midnight Eastern on Sunday night?
You know, Clayton said like 102. I think it'll be way higher. I think it'll be maybe like 120 to 115 Pelicans. And I don't mean to bash the Lakers. And you said something about 25 wins. I had them at like 33, 34 wins. So I do think they'll hit that this year. It's just the Pelicans. It's a terrible matchup going against two of the top five big men in the league when you had like the worst or second worst interior defense last year. I think it's just a terrible matchup. So yeah, I do think the Lakers lose by maybe five or six. I think it's high scoring, high pace. And if anyone plays FanDuel or DraftKings, I think Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are putting up, you know, 50 or 60 FanDuel points each.
Nice. All right. Thank you guys so much for your time. Again, I'm your host, Preston Ellis. We're talking to TJ of Lakers Pulse and Clayton of Under the Bus Pod here on the Bird Rights on Nothing But Net Radio on Dash. TJ, tell our listeners a bit about where they can find some of your work on Lakers Pulse.
Yeah, you can find us at LakersPulse.com, some pregame and postgame articles. Again, we do have a podcast that'll be starting up in the next few weeks again. And we're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Nice. Clayton, your turn. Plug yourself, dude.
Well, you can catch me at Lakers 1949. We're also on at Under the Bus Pod. You can catch us right now. So far, it's only on YouTube and SoundCloud. We're getting everything back up for iTunes. There's been some type of weird hiccup that it's taken forever to get back on there. Then you can also, if you can't get a hold of me, which usually it's really easy to, you got at Merge Christian and at probably underscore Nelson. Those two are the guys that are on the podcast with me, and they're knowledgeable as well. And then we'll be looking to be starting a site here pretty soon. We'll be looking to possibly announce that in the next few weeks.
Nice stuff, you guys. That's it for now. Remember, fans, we like you. So if you like us, help spread the word, retweet, subscribe, rate us on iTunes if you get a second. Your help has already gotten us featured on the front page of Blog Talk Radio, as well as a new home here on Dash Radio. So keep it up. Now, we'll be back on Sunday with interviews featuring Justin Jett of Pelican Debrief, Brendan Kleen of Bourbon Street Shots, and Rory Calais of Locked On Pels, as well as a recap tonight on the Pelicans Golden State Warriors matchup. And then on Sunday night, Trevor and Travis Tate, the Big Picture Boys, will probably be covering that one after the fact as well. So don't miss a single episode. Thank you guys again. Clayton, you want to take us out?
Thanks, Preston, for having me on, man.
Nice work. TJ, thank you to you, sir.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on tonight.
Anytime. Let's go, pals. Thanks again, Pelicans fans. Again, you are listening to the Bird Rights on Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Find all of our podcasts on iTunes by searching the Bird Rights NBA podcast. That's right, WRITES. And find our source material at thebirdrights.com. Thanks for listening.